Hi, so yes, I'm Justin Funston. Today I'll be talking about placement of virtual containers on Numa systems. So data centers today, they use about 3% of global electricity usage. Most of that is servers and cooling. They run a lot of important applications like scientific simulations, web servers, database servers, and so on. So anything we can do to make them more efficient will be very helpful for the cost and the environment. And one way that data center operators try to do that is server packing or consolidation. And the idea is pretty simple. Just the more containers or applications that we can run on fewer servers, it'll make things more efficient. So it's just a very high-level abstract view of a server. We have two containers, and they're each sharing some number of resource nodes. So we can do something like this, or perhaps something like this. So we've doubled the number of containers we're running on the same server. So now each of them get fewer of those resources. So if we do that, well, it's half as many servers, half as much energy, half as much infrastructure. That's all great. But really, the big question is, what about performance? We still need to maintain our performance goals, or SLOs. And data center operators could really benefit from better tools to make these sort of decisions. So just a little side note here. I'm going to be talking about placements a lot. And placements, it's an assignment of container vCPUs to cores. And doing that is restricting which application threads, which cores the application threads run on. So I'm going to be kind of using threads or vCPUs a bit interchangeably in this talk. So now a bit of background on what those resources actually are. And for this example, I'm going to be talking about a 64-core AMD Bulldozer system. And at the bottom of this resource hierarchy is what AMD calls a module. It's basically a form of SMT. So there are two cores in one module, and each of those cores share an L2 cache, floating point units, instruction front end, and so on. And at the next level up, we have the NUMA node, which has 8 cores, and those cores share the L3 cache, the memory controller, and a link to the DRAM. And then finally, a view of the whole system. There's 8 of those NUMA nodes, so the full 64 cores connected in a complex interconnect topology. The exact details here aren't important. It's just to show that it is complicated. There's various bandwidth links, varying hop count, it's directional, and so on. So it's this complex hierarchy of shared resources. And just a couple of the assumptions that we're making when we're trying to design our solution here. First of all, the number of vCPUs that a container uses is fixed beforehand. And we're going to have a max of 1 vCPU per core, so no oversubscription on that level. And containers packed together, we don't want them to interfere with each other. We don't want a noisy neighbor problem. So in order to ensure that, our containers, they're not going to share NUMA nodes. So once again, I'm talking about placements. So we have a large multi-core NUMA system like this. So this is a hypothetical 32-core system. And say we have 4 threads that we need to assign to cores. So we can do something like this. We can spread the threads out, one on each NUMA node. This will give them more cache space, more memory bandwidth, and so on. But it will use more power, and the NUMA nodes won't be available to potentially other applications. Or we could do something like this. So we've consolidated the threads onto a single NUMA node. This will give them less cache space, less bandwidth, but potentially lower latency communication. And also, the other NUMA nodes are idle. They could be powered down, or more applications could be consolidated onto this server. And of course, there's many other options, many other placements available too. So one question is, do these placements even really matter much for performance? And it turns out that they do. So this is one example. UA.B benchmark. Along the x-axis, each point is a different placement. The exact number down there is just sort of a placement ID, if you want to think of it that way. And then along the y-axis, we have the normalized performance in blue, so higher is better. And we have the number of numinodes that that placement uses in brown. And like I was saying, using fewer numinodes is better because you can use less energy or use them for other purposes. We can see that, yes, performance does matter a lot. It varies from about 0.8 to almost 1.4 for this particular benchmark. And there's not like a simple, easy relationship between the number of numinodes and your performance. And in fact, for UA.B here, I've circled the placements that use 8 numinodes. You can see that using 8 nodes doesn't improve performance at all over 4. So if we had a way of determining this or predicting this, then we could just consolidate this application onto 4 nodes and perhaps run another instance of it on the other 4 nodes and not lose any performance. So here's another example. This time it's Spark PageRank. And we can see it's a very different relationship between placement and performance. So it is an application-dependent problem. For this application, there's a lot less range of performance. And in fact, using 2 numinodes is actually pretty good. It's not the best performance, but it's not too bad. So maybe that's a trade-off you would want to make if you could actually know that this applies. So this is an overview of our solution. So on the left is our abstract machine model. This is sort of the offline part of it. It starts with a description of the hardware, and then there's kind of 2 key contributions there. There's this idea of scheduling concerns, which I'll talk about more in this talk, and then the idea of important placements, which is described more in the paper. And then from that, we can run training benchmarks on our important placements and train a machine learning model. And then on the right, we have the online portion, which is the performance prediction model. And we start by using performance measurements as inputs into our multi-output random forest regression model. So that's the model that we trained offline. And then we get the performance predictions, which we can use for the sort of trade-offs I've been talking about, performance packing or performance energy trade-offs. So the abstract machine model, one of the key questions is just, how do you represent a placement? There's simply too many for a naive approach. You can't just simply enumerate all of them and do something useful with it. So for example, with 16 threads on 64 cores, there's trillions of potential placements. So we really need to exploit the symmetry of the hardware, and I'll talk about what that means. So our solution to this is what we call scheduling concerns, which are a generalized abstraction for hardware resources. And a single scheduling concern is represents the utilization of a single resource, for example, the L3 cache. And their main purpose is to provide a score function that returns a numerical score when given a placement. And these scores, like I said, they represent the utilization of the resources, but they only depend on the placement, not on any application-dependent effects. So let's look at some examples of those. So for an L3 cache concern, the score would be very simple. It's just the number of L3 caches in use. So here we have 4 threads on 4 L3 caches, so our score is simply 4. And if we move these threads around a little bit there, we're still just using 4 L3 caches, so our score is still 4. So that's what I mean by exploiting the symmetry of the hardware. And we can look at another example. So this would be an L2 cache concern, and here we have 4 threads again using 2 L2 caches, and the score is once again very simple. It's just the number of L2 caches in use. And if we look at a slightly different placement, the score is still 2. So even though those two placements look different from the point of view of your L2 cache resources available, it's the same. So our score is the same. So this idea of scheduling concerns, we combine with the idea of important placements, which, like I said, is described in detail in the paper. But basically what they are is they are placements that maximize the resources available in some way, or minimize the cost that you care about in some way. So minimize energy or minimize node usage. And these two ideas, greatly simplifies the problem. So we've gone from trillions of placements to just 12 important placements that we care about for 16 threads on 64 cores. So that really makes the problem tractable. And for machine learning, it's particularly important because now we can actually train our machine learning model on all those important placements. So we want to predict the performance of these important placements, and we're going to be using machine learning regression to do so. So that raises the question, just what will be our features or inputs into our machine learning model? So we spend a lot of time trying to make hardware performance events, also known as hardware performance counters, work for this purpose. These HPEs are pretty standard in existing work. They've been used in a lot of different scheduling papers, and they worked fairly well. But surprisingly, we found that they had fairly poor predictive performance. And one reason is that our goal here is a bit more lofty than those other papers. The other older scheduling algorithms, basically, they just wanted to tell you what the best placement was, whereas now we're trying to actually predict the performance of placements. And the hardware performance events seem to just not have the predictive power that we needed. And also, if you wanted to apply this to a new architecture and you didn't really know which hardware performance events you wanted to use, it can lead to a lot of excessive training time for the machine learning model. There's around 1,000 different events on architectures these days. So in the end, what we found to actually work well is actual performance measurements themselves. So the idea is that we're going to measure the performance of two of those important placements, and then we can use that to actually predict the performance of the remaining placements. So online, our online predictions will look something like this. So starting at the top, we measure the performance of a baseline placement and the performance of a secondary placement, which we can then get the normalized performance of the second placement, which is then the input into our random forest regression model, which then gives us the predictions of the performance for the remaining placements. So now we can take a look at the results for those predictions. So here we're looking at ua.b again. Once again, the placement is along the x-axis, and we have normalized performance on the y-axis. And then in blue is the actual normalized performance. In green is our predicted performance when using hardware performance events as inputs. And in brown, the predicted performance when using the performance measurements as inputs. So we can see that our predictions are quite accurate, within a couple percent. And importantly, our predictions are good enough that we can make the sort of trade-offs I was talking about at the beginning. We can tell that for UA.B, 8 nodes, which are the placements I've circled there, 8 nodes doesn't really improve performance, so you can get away with just using 4. And here's Spark PageRank again. So once again, very accurate predictions. And using those predictions, we could once again make the trade-offs that we want to. The placements I've circled are the 2-node placements. So we can tell that, yeah, they're probably good enough for most cases, depending on whatever your performance goal is. And here is another benchmark. And this is a case where the hardware performance events did not work very well, but our performance measurements as the inputs did work well. The green line, the HPE-based predictions, it's way off, over by a factor of two in some cases. The trend line is completely different. So these predictions would not be useful at all, whereas with the performance measurements, they're still pretty good. And there's several examples like this where the performance measurements work well, but the HPEs don't. So here's just an overview of the prediction accuracy. So each bar is a different benchmark, and then the y-axis is the mean absolute percent error of the predictions. So lower is better. And we can see that for many of the applications, the error is less than 5%, so it's quite good. There's a few that have a bit higher error, like SP.B, which is the one that's around 9% error, stream cluster. So a couple have higher error, but our predictions are still useful because we can still actually predict the trend well, meaning we can predict which placements are better than others, even if the absolute numbers are a little bit off. And I should also mention that all of our predictions here are per benchmark cross-validated. So when we're predicting SP.B, the training set consists of all the other benchmarks except for SP, for example. All right, so in conclusion, data centers using a lot of electricity, anything we can do to make them more efficient is very beneficial. And one way to do that is to pack more containers onto fewer servers, but we really want to maintain performance goals when doing so. And compared to some naive strategies, we can improve utilization by 2 to 4 times in some cases. And the two key contributions that let us do this were the abstract machine model, which is flexible and helped make the problem tractable, and then the performance prediction model itself to actually help you make the trade-offs that you want to make. All right, thank you very much.
Great work. Just have a question about, so if you co-schedule multiple workloads on the same system, so it can be, so if you only consider one, maybe the placement is this one is optimal, then when you co-schedule, say something is very cache hungry with something is not cache hungry, then you have interference. So have you considered that aspect?
So the way we set it up is that we basically avoid those situations. So we're saying that applications cannot share NUMA nodes, so they're not going to conflict for cache or memory bandwidth or anything like that. If you wanted to actually predict the interference between workloads, that makes it a lot harder, but it's probably a good avenue for future work.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, and great work, thanks. The question I had, do you have any comments on whether you can apply this to process running within virtual machines, but on a NUMA machine?
So are you talking about a VM versus a container?
Yeah, but process running within virtual machines and how to detect, for example, how to co-locate VMs according to, their...
I think if you're doing it at the hypervisor level, it's basically the same thing. I don't think, we haven't tried it, but I don't foresee any problem with that. If you're trying to do it at the guest OS level, then you don't really have the information or the power that you need to actually help. But yeah, I think at the hypervisor level, it would work.
Okay, nice work. So this is Xiaoning from NGIT. I have two questions. The first question is, if I remember correctly, you use random forest as the training model. I wonder if you have a particular reason for choosing this. Did you train the data set using other machine learning models?
So first of all, using a random forest when we're just using the performance measurements as our inputs is way overkill. You can probably get away with just a plain decision tree. But we wanted to have a fair comparison with the hardware performance events. As far as other models, yeah, we tried other things, some basic neural networks and SVMs and so on. We found random forest to work the best, and we think that that's because the sort of data that we're looking at has a lot of sort of step function-like behavior. It's not like a nice, simple curve. And I think the decision trees work better with that.
Nonlinear, right? Nonlinear.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Definitely.
Okay, so my second question is, did you compare the normal performance variation between different layout placement with your prediction accuracy? So you have a prediction accuracy, error rate, something like that, and normal performance variation between different placement. Which one is bigger?
I'm not sure what you mean by performance variation.
For example, placement one has a performance. Placement two has a performance. There is a performance difference between these two placements. Mm-hmm. If you use the data in placement one to predict the performance with placement two, you also have a prediction error rate, right? Which one is bigger?
So you're talking about like per placement predictions, and what do those look like?
Yeah, something like that.
We didn't find.
I'm thinking that if the performance variation for some benchmark, if the performance variation between the different placement is small, so basically you don't need to predict, right?
Prediction is still useful because you wouldn't know beforehand that the variation is small, right? Like if the variation is small, then yes, probably just using two new
get the information from your samples.
Hmm?
From your samples before in the training set.
Yes, but we want to be able to predict on new applications that we haven't seen before.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, just a quick clarification. Were all the containers accessing the memory pages from the local memory after they missed the cache? Were they able to like fit in within one NUMA node?
So when we change placements, we also migrate the memory. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, so none of the accesses are going to any of the remote NUMA nodes, like remote memory, after they missed the cache.
Right.
All right, okay, yeah. Thanks.